right, welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Thrilled to be back. I'm Adam Azer with Scott White
and
Al Melchior.
Yeah, it was cool. I walked into work yesterday. You were here.
Here I am.
Podcasting in the podcast studio.
That's right.
Did a double take.
The podcast studio, a.k.a. the conference room with a mixer. Not exactly a studio, but
Adam,
it works
wait,
for us.
You pulled back the curtain.
I didn't greet you properly.
Oh, God. Oh, it's so crunchy. You're eating the worst.
Wow.
You're eating the single worst snack. Okay, so how did this come about? Earlier this year, the subject of corn nuts came up, and I didn't know what a corn nut from a pine nut.
Okay.
And if you've seen a Best in Show, I'm very tempted to do my Harlan Pepper impression, but I won't. Somebody sent us corn nuts.
Somebody did.
One of our loyal
yeah.
listeners sent
you
us
a few bags, variety of flavors.
But he sent them to the
very
Fort
thoughtful.
Lauderdale office, which I don't work in anymore.
No.
So I came back on Sunday, and I've been in the office. I'll be here all week. And Scott said, oh, you want to try some corn nuts? I was expecting them to taste like corn.
They are corn.
They are not corn. They are the devil's corn.
The devil's corn.
Horrible. So I took like a bunch of, I don't know, like six or seven little corn nuts.
Uh-huh.
They're not that big. What would you say? Yeah. They're like the size of a raisin?
More like a craisin.
Okay, craisin. I put them in my mouth. The second I tasted the corn nuts, just disgusted. Spit them out immediately.
The whole office pretty much heard your reaction.
They were horrible, and it was a totally legitimate, genuine, because I was expecting to like them. I thought they were going to be really good. The texture surprised me. The crunchiness, everything about...
They are very crunchy.
Just hated
them. As everyone just heard.
Yeah.
That probably caught you off guard because it is such... It's like biting into hard candy almost. That's the texture
of it. It's so
salty. There are three ingredients, at least in the original flavor of corn nuts. Corn, corn oil, and salt.
Yes.
So they are
corn. In reverse order.
Yeah, and they are salty, and a lot of people like that. I know our own Joe Polito, who's the snacking expert, in my opinion.
Is he?
He has a lot of good snack recommendations, and he's a big fan.
That's how I feel about Al. Al's a snacking expert.
I am not a big fan of the corn nuts.
Good.
I'm not repulsed by them like you are.
You're eating them as we speak.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of one of those snacks where you start, you can't really stop.
So, revulsometer.
So,
with the 10 being completely revulsed like Adam was.
I mean, I'm a six there.
How about
they're
you,
not
Al?
Gross. They're just not necessary.
Yeah, I'll go five.
They
go
suck.
Five.
This is a really bad snack. You've gotten a five, a six, and a ten on the, what is it?
Revulsometer.
That's a good ometer. A five, a six, and a ten. Do not get corn
nuts. It's kind of like eating an unpopped corn kernel.
Oh, thank you for selling it, Scott. Can't wait. Can't wait. Let's just get a bag of popcorn.
Hopefully Kraft Foods doesn't sponsor anything we do.
Oh, today's podcast brought to you now. Let's get to fantasy baseball as we recap Monday's action and take some emails later at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Email of the day number one. Emails right now, actually. And email of the day number two. They actually contradict each other, numbers one and two. But email of the day number one. Al, you want to read this out loud for us?
Oh, sure. Sure. This email isn't about which pitchers will be good sparps next year.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure you could read since you're not wearing your glasses.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, it's a little... joke that doesn't really translate to audio.
You're holding
great.
The paper like right up to your face because you can't see. Anyway, this email is not about which pitchers will be good sparps next year.
I just read that.
It's about my opinion that sparps is a cheap aspect of fantasy baseball. You all talk about not liking cheap tactics that add value to your teams, but you're lying.
Lying.
Sparp aspects of fantasy baseball is cheap. What's wrong with starts limits? I'll tell you what is wrong. It eliminates your ability to use sparps with their cheap advantages. It also limits your ability to use bad, mediocre two-star pitchers. Another cheap tactic. All right, he doesn't like sparps or bad two-star pitchers.
So what is wrong with starts limits?
I'm not a huge fan. I mean...
Why?
It just feels like over-legislation. I'm good with getting rid of sparps. I mean, head-to-head formats with relief slots, not really close to my favorite format.
Well, love where you're going with that. I agree.
I don't think there's anything wrong with starts limits to kind of even the playing field. It's just it's not a clear way to do it. And that's kind of the problem with eliminating sparps, too, because so many pitchers change roles mid-season. Who's to decide when you switch them over from being relief pitcher eligible to starting pitcher eligible or vice versa?
Well,
there's going to have to be some overlap.
I play in one league that is like that, and you can use a sparp until he has made three straight starts. it's basically like your last three appearances matter. So if you've made two starts and your third to last appearance was a relief appearance, you can use him as a SPARP that week. But then after that, you really can't. And but I like that.
There's still some overlap in that scenario, yeah. And it's still a commissioner intervening. And that's what it's going to take. You can make any in the commissioner product. You can make any rules you want, and if you have a commissioner willing to enforce them,
this is too.
Great,
it doesn't. That's unnecessary. You just say you can't put a starting pitcher there. It has to be a reliever. And if he's making a spot start, you can't. Well, can you start him in that case? Spot start for a reliever. I think it should be like only relief pitchers, not a guy who's relief pitch eligible, not a guy who's transitioning. Only relief pitchers can be in your RP spot. You could just do that, and then the commissioner has to enforce that.
Yeah, we do have a league like that, but it still has to be. I guess it has to be a paid product. This is a good commercial for the paid product because commissioner can basically do or undo anything he wants.
Yeah,
and enforce it that way if he has the desire to do that.
Yeah.
So,
you want a final word here, Al?
Well, like I said, I think the solution is simple. Don't play in a league that separates starters from relievers. Just have pitcher slots like Roto.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
don't be in our podcast league.
Yeah. Right. that'll, you know, I guess.
Then closers become irrelevant in a points league. If it was just seven pitcher spots,
gotcha.
Everybody'd start starters.
Yeah, in a points league, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would.
But again, you know, I'm missing some formats, but, you know, of the three formats of head-to-head, rotisserie, and sim, head-to-head's my least favorite and like by a good margin.
Why?
So,
head-to-head points or head-to-head categories?
Well, categories is... That's the devil. not corn nuts.
That's the corn nuts for Al.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Such a good category.
But even a points such league. It used to be the other way around, that I like points leagues better than Roto. But I like the strategy aspects of Roto better in terms of you've got the 10 games in one with the 10, you know, if it's 5x5, 10 categories. You don't have to deal with, you know, some arbitrary decision about who's a reliever, who's a starter. You just, you know, saves are relevant, but you decide the mix of starters and relievers. And sims still rock.
Well, maybe one day I'll try one of those. Email of the day number two is from John. It says, "Dear Carlos, Carlos, and Marco." Cardinals?
Sorry. I've had that corn nut in my
mouth. Yeah, for somebody who put him on the five on the Revulso meter. It's time to get rid of the coordinates.
No, I'm just going to snack on them the whole podcast, I hope.
I'm sorry, but in the previous email, you left out my favorite part.
Which is what?
The last sentence.
I love fantasy baseball. I love your podcast, but the baseball podcast is running on fumes.
Okay, that's actually my favorite part, but then the sentence after that.
Address my email?
Yes.
We did.
Because he left out the magic word.
What, please?
No, now.
Oh, now, yeah. Jeez, Isaac. Relax. Well, here's email of the day number two from John. Who are looking like the top sparps next year? who are the top sparps for next year?
Oh, man.
Caught me off guard here.
I'm going to have to pull up my rankings because it'll be players who are eligible at relief pitcher now.
Gosman?
He hasn't relieved at all, right?
No, he hasn't.
Oh, he hasn't?
I'm trying to think who has been. It would be like a Matt Barnes type of person, like, you know, somebody who was called up probably a rookie in most cases, thrown in the bullpen, but will start next year.
I have no idea if this guy's RP eligible, but Tyler Duffy, or is he just a starter?
Just a starter.
Just a starter.
There are some good ones, I know.
Logan Marco, who pitched last night, is a name that's coming to mind. He might start next year.
Marco Estrada didn't get enough relief appearances.
You're kidding.
No.
I thought that's a good one. No, would have been a good one. Trevor May.
Trevor May.
Yep.
I think would be one, and if he gets a role in the rotation. Vincent Velasquez, who is a top prospect, I don't think he's quite gotten the 10 relief appearances, but he should before the season's done. He's pretty close.
Okay. All right, well.
So those are a couple.
There you go. Not quite Alex Wood and Carlos Carrasco, at least hype-wise.
No. There's probably somebody we're missing, but We'll dive into that a good bit in the offseason.
And now let's dive into the big news. Chris Sale could be limited over the next few weeks, depending on how he feels. Hunter Pence might be out for the season. Joe Panik looks like he almost certainly is out for the season. Is there a confirmation there? Joe Panik?
I thought I did see that. I can double confirm, make sure.
He's probably out. Carlos, Kelby Tomlinson, we never talk about him, actually. Putting up some decent numbers. Worth a look.
And I guess he's still going to play since Joe Panik's back out again. I don't know. He makes contact. That's about all I can say for him. That's about all I used to say for Matt Duffy, and he ended up becoming relevant. But I'm not expecting lightning to strike twice.
And speaking of news, that's other big news. The Astros called up third baseman Matt Duffy yesterday.
Yeah, there's another Matt Duffy. Is he any good?
Not as good.
Okay.
At least as far as we could tell. But I hope he becomes really good so that we can be really confused for the next 10 years.
That's because it's not even like Chris Davis where they spell their names differently.
It's not like Matt with one T or something.
Carlos Gomez is out for the Texas series with an intercostal strain. Giancarlo Stanton could be back this week. Corey Kluber scheduled to start Thursday against the Royals. Starling Marte expected to start tonight in game 2 of a doubleheader. Billy Hamilton left yesterday's game after re-injuring his shoulder. That shoulder put him on the DL earlier this year. And would you believe the Astros have the worst road record in the American League? They are 29-43 on the road.
Crazy.
They must be really good at home, huh?
Yeah.
I got to look up the standings because, you know, I know they're losing their grip on the division.
I think it's a game and a half.
But do they have a better record than, well, no, not the Blue Jays and not the Royals. So they're going to be on the road for the first game of their playoff series, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, they'll be at Toronto, right? I would think.
I think that's right. Panik likely out for the season.
Yeah. Okay.
If they win the division, I mean, assuming
if
the
standings they win the division,
hold,
right?
They would be on the road against Toronto. Yeah.
Right. Then they're 5.5 games back of Toronto. Okay. And Toronto's closing in on the Royals, by the way, so they might actually be going to Kansas City. Because Toronto is 2 games back of the Royals, who are playing like garbage. They are 2-8 in their last 10.
I'm going to root for that then, because we've got to see an Astros-Royals series.
You know what? I was thinking Toronto is so good, but if there was one place that I could see them getting tripped up, it would be Kansas City. That ballpark maybe neutralizes them a little bit, and the Royals just being so athletic in the outfield, maybe they could win. Kansas City could turn things around. I would love to see Toronto at Kansas City, I think, for a Game 7. That would be awesome. But if Toronto's at home, oh, boy. Scary. Scary stuff.
And Johnny Cueto's on the mound.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Monday standouts. Who we got? Who stood out?
Cole Hamels, and not in a good way.
Yeah.
And I was actually surprised. I knew that he had been struggling. But now over an 11-start stretch that actually includes his no-hitter. So keep that in mind.
Wow.
This includes a no-hitter, a 4.94 ERA over 11 starts, 66 Ks in 71 innings, and 20 walks. Not terrible, but not great. Let's see. Sorry, I'm squinting because I'm doing this without glasses today. yeah, it's funny.
But it's a lot of, like, 7 innings, 3 runs, 7 innings, 4 runs, 7 innings, 3 runs.
Right.
Yeah, it hasn't been that bad. That's
exactly. It's not been that bad, but the additive effect of a near 5 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, 7 innings, 4 runs.
Good.
Is not what you drafted Cole Hamels for.
Sure.
No.
Sure.
He has lost value this season. I think that's fair to say. But you reduce it to last 6 starts, and it's a 3.43 ERA. 5 of those starts, 7 innings plus. Only 1 home run allowed during that 6-start stretch.
He's
still a must start.
He's also tricky, though, if you're evaluating for next year, because just looking at his career, right? 2008, 3.09 ERA, bursts onto the scene. I guess 2007, 2008, he put together 227 innings. 2009, 4.32 ERA. 2010, 2011, 2012, no, ERA 3.06 or lower. So he's obviously one of the best pitchers in baseball every year. 2013, 8-14 with a 3.60 ERA. And then 2014 bounces back with a 2.46 ERA. So he's had 2 outlier seasons with a 4.32 and a 3.60 ERA, and he's bounced back very well the following year.
Yeah, and who's to say he won't bounce back, you know, in his remaining starts or next season. But it's just kind of curious and you know, trying to see what's going on because you know, like I said, those strikeout and walk rates aren't bad. They're not what you would, you know, match up to a 5 ERA. But the swing rate's really been down.
And the swing rate, is that swing and miss rate or just swinging?
Just swinging.
What does that mean?
It just means I think that's contributing to the lower strikeout rate, that there's called strikes that he's not getting. and it seems to be happening a lot on this curve, which is a relatively small part of his arsenal. So I'm not sure what it all means, but the fact that this is an 11 start stretch that includes a no hitter, it's definitely something that I'm going to be watching closely over the last few starts.
Interesting. All right, any other guys?
How about Jason Wirth? I mean, I knew we were going to talk about him anyway because he hit two home runs, but he's still only 57% owned, and he's Jason
61
Wirth.
Now.
61,
things
okay.
Changed.
Finally picking up the pace here. But last 26 games, .296 batting average, 6 home runs, .947 OPS, and 108 at-bats. That's Jason Wirth. That's the guy who was a top 15 outfielder the last 2 years.
Yep.
Why is he not started in every league, much less owned? I don't know.
If this were June, he'd be probably pretty close to 100% now, you'd think. But he's still...
I don't think so.
He's still out there.
I think, what, 75% maybe is the upper threshold for how much a player can be owned right now, if who wasn't already owned above that to begin with.
75.
He's still lagging.
Yeah, all right, Jason Wirth is available.
I just kind of picked that number 75, but it seems like we've seen players this time of year get up that high, mm-hmm. and he's not.
All right, I'll nominate Erasmo Ramirez. A great start against the Yankees probably doesn't really matter. I mean, this was the first time he's been good in a while.
Yeah, it is. He's been distinctly not good after being great for a couple of months. I'm not. It's surprising to see him come across as such a dominant performance. So that's one to watch too, but not to act on.
Okay, how about Tyler Duffy? What'd you guys think of him? He's had two really good ones in a row.
You know, I'm a Tyler Duffy fan.
I do know
that curveball just is. I really think he has a future as a middle of the rotation type in fantasy. What's a good comparison? Maybe kind of what Jimmy Nelson's been this year, although comparing him to Jimmy Nelson is probably unfair because Jimmy Nelson has higher upside than that, but just to put it in the context
year.
Of this year, yes. Problem is, this is a two-star week, at least that's what it's lined up to be. So that would mean it's his last two-start week, and I don't see myself picking him up for one start.
And Tyler Duffy will be against the Angels at home this weekend.
And it could be really easily to get fooled into thinking that he's, could be used for one start because that the Angels matchup is probably a good one.
Mm-hmm.
They've not hit very well. I'm not as much of a Tyler Duffy fan, and, just he's had moments where he's looked fantastic, but not that much consistency.
So any other standouts?
Because there's guys I want to talk about, but they're coming up.
Yeah, they're coming up. So I know you guys mentioned the Tulowitzki thing on Monday's show. Thank you to Chris for hosting that. But I want to talk more generally about, of course, Tulowitzki finally stays healthy all year. And now we don't know if he's coming back this year. Like, I didn't draft him. You guys were both saying first round. And I'll give you credit because he hasn't had a great year, but he's probably been, maybe he's been a second round pick if you want to nitpick. But he's been really good and he's stayed healthy. But now here we are. You don't have Tulowitzki for the most important part of your season if you're still playing. So what can you say about this? The problem of picking an elite player who is so injury prone. And honestly, Stanton should be in this discussion too.
All right. Well, I think they're different.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're different because
me too.
This is something that that was highlighted to me working on a column. Where I was writing about Jose Reyes and looking at the fact that two of the last 3 years, Reyes has topped the shortstop rankings in points, fantasy points. But there's a big difference between him doing that last year and him doing that 3 years ago, because 3 years ago it was him and Tulo, and in points leagues it was Ben Zobrist and sometimes it was Hanley, and they were kind of miles ahead of everybody else. Nobody's really good at shortstop anymore, and that includes Tulowitzki. So, on a per-game basis, he, still looks like he's had a pretty good season, but, the pack isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like you're actually being too generous saying he's had a good season, and there have been some ups and downs. Terrible start, obviously, impacts those numbers somewhat, but since joining the Blue Jays, he hadn't
It's very weird.
And 155 at-bats, 682 OPS. It brought his season mark down to 774.
But it's so weird. You know, it's like, I know he left Coors.
Yeah.
But he went to such a good environment. He was batting leadoff or fifth in a great lineup. And I know he's not the same hitter away from Coors, but he's not that bad.
And he's striking out more. He's walking less. And he's a 30-year-old shortstop. I just think it might be honest-to-goodness regression at this stage of his career, regardless of him leaving Coors Field. And I didn't say this when he got traded or even just a month ago when I was projecting the first two rounds, but enough of the same has happened since then, even before the injury. I was saying there's not really a standout as shortstop. I think there is. It's Carlos Correa, and I think
that's a good point.
It's probably to the point now where he does need to be drafted ahead of Tulowitzki, when I would have said the opposite a month ago.
Year two curse.
Well, there is that. If we were drafting Carlos Correa at first face value, he'd be a first rounder.
Yeah.
So I think mid second is appropriate for him.
Yeah, no, Tulowitzki's different than Stanton, I think you were going to say, because Tulowitzki's on the decline.
Well, actually, I wasn't, but that's a good point. No, that the positions are different.
Yeah.
You could still, and Scott's right, I mean, I probably was being a little bit generous. I mean, Tulowitzki really didn't distinguish himself from the pack this year. But, you know, even if you hope that he can do that, it's not that big a deal anymore. I think to be an elite outfielder, to have the potential, if you stay healthy, to be an elite outfielder is a very big deal.
But if Tulowitzki had a Tulo year, he would have been worth an early pick.
That's
especially in a roto league. But in a head-to-head league, when you never know when you're going to lose him and he might screw you for really important weeks, you know, that's when I get scared of taking a guy like Tulowitzki in the first round. The difference, I would say, for me between Tulowitzki and Stanton, other than performance or whatever, is Tulowitzki has these like chronic leg issues. I know it wasn't a leg issue this year, but he just seems much more likely to get injured. Stanton has had bad luck, more so in my opinion.
I think so.
That's
probably true.
That's why I was really scared of Tulo. It wasn't a leg injury. Ended up being a back injury. But maybe he's just like Ellsbury, where most shortstops in baseball collide with the center fielder and they're fine. Tulowitzki breaks his shoulder, I don't know. So maybe he'll become of value next year, but I was never willing to take him in the first round.
Well, I think now it's a discussion of whether or not he's a second rounder even. And I would guess, without lining up all the players, late second round is probably where he slots in, Tulowitzki, that is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think third round is definitely a possibility too.
Well, look, if you have Tulowitzki on your team, why don't you play FanDuel? Because you can have Carlos Correa whenever you want. You can pick any player you want. You don't have to worry about injuries. You don't have to worry about who's sitting against lefties or whatever. You make the best lineup every single day, and we help you out with that on this podcast and a little bit on Daily Fantasy Live. Fantasy baseball is still in full swing on FanDuel on daily fantasy sites, and FanDuel is the number one daily fantasy site. They're paying out big money all summer long. Summer is approaching its end, so let's get in on that while it still lasts. Go to FanDuel.com. Play daily fantasy baseball. It starts at just $1. There are no entry fees, and you're going to love it. There's no reason why, if you love fantasy baseball, why you wouldn't enjoy playing on FanDuel. Use our offer code CBSPOD, and for every dollar you deposit for new users, FanDuel will match your deposit dollar for dollar up to $200, and that gets earned as you play. All right, five up, two down. Five up number one's Jason Wirth. Cross him off then. Five up number two, Alex Gordon. 375 batting average since coming off the DL, but this was his first home run. He hit it yesterday. He has the second highest slugging percentage of his career at .466. He's an interesting player. He led off yesterday. Has he been leading off?
Well, I don't know, but the key for him, I think, is that he's been playing six straight games.
Yes.
When he first came off the DL, they said he wouldn't play every day, and he wasn't. But now he is, and I think that's...
His ownership percentage.
83. I mean, he's more owned than Jason Wirth.
But he's normally a 100% guy.
Yeah.
You know? People dropped him, so you might be able to sneak a little Alex Gordon in your lineup in 10-team leagues. Will Myers, 60% owned. What do you think about him being in the same ownership as Jason Wirth? Will Myers.
I don't have a big problem with that ownership rate. I do think Myers is worth getting picked up. Wirth it's worth getting picked up. But I don't know. I can't really go out of my way to get Myers, maybe in a five outfielder league, depending on who I'm running out there.
Eduardo Escobar, man, keeps on keeping on. Mm-hmm. Second home run in four games.
The most valuable shortstop in fantasy last 28 days.
Are they going to do this every year, the Twins? Last year it was Danny Santana. This year it was Eduardo Escobar.
Maybe.
Do you guys own him? Do you start him?
I own him. Deep leagues, I'm trying to think.
Deep league champion?
I have him in an AL-only league as my shortstop. I don't think it's wrong to pick him up as like a hot hand play in a mixed league right now if you really need a shortstop. But I feel like there have been so many shortstops like that recently that...
Jerko or Escobar on that note?
Probably Roto, I'd say Jerko, but Escobar is the hotter of the two right now. In a points league, I think I'd just go with whoever's hottest.
Yeah, I think just on principle, I'd probably go Escobar in a points league because he, even if the home runs dissipate, he has shown some doubles power, which is not going to help you as much in Roto. So I think this is sort of interesting because he did, I think it was two seasons ago when Escobar hit all the doubles, or was that last year? Now I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember him being a fantasy entity. I mean, I knew who he was, and I just never had reason to care about him prior to this year.
Well, anyhow.
35 doubles last year.
It was last
433
year.
433
at-bats. Yeah. Which, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but per at-bat, that's a pretty nice ratio. And for somebody that widely perceived as not a fantasy entity, mm-hmm. I don't think it's just Scott, you know, that's kind of interesting. And then you look at this, and he's 26, I think.
He is 26, yep.
So, you know, not beyond the pale to think that there's something to this.
Escobar is 39% owned. And Jose Altuve, just thought I'd bring it up because he's got 12 home runs. His previous career high was 7. He homered yesterday. He's batting .314. Not quite the same steal rate that he had last year. 37 steals in 49 attempts, but still a tremendous year for the number one second baseman in fantasy who's showing some pop.
Yeah, and that's kind of... That was one reason where we were, I think Al and I were both like, well, yeah, his batting average probably is going to regress from last year, but there's a room for him to improve in other areas, given his age and the potential he had shown already. I think maybe he could keep improving as a power hitter, maybe become a consistent 15 homer a year type.
Top 8 pick, Altuve?
I'd say early second.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was thinking, yeah, around the turn.
Interesting.
For second round.
I mean, in a Roto league, you get that batting average and those steals. That's amazing.
They're just all the third basemen that have emerged this year have in my mind at least, leapfrogged them.
How many hitters in baseball can you trust to hit 300? Altuve, Miguel Cabrera, McCutcheon probably hit around
Fielder.
There.
Fielder. Fielder might be a good call.
Fielder is slap hitter.
That'll get you 300.
Yesterday. Yeah.
He homered yesterday.
I wasn't poo-pooing your call on
Votto.
The batting average. That was my frustration
Votto,
with
of course,
him.
Yeah.
Joey Votto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that many. All right. Two down. So the Nationals have this big game. Rendon homered. Worth, two homers. Ian Desmond, 1-for-5 with 4 strikeouts. 235 batting average. After a brilliant August with a .314 average, .375 on base, .539 slugging, Desmond is batting .224 with no home runs and no steals in September. He's been terrible again. Very frustrating.
When drafting shortstops next year, he's going to be a Jag.
You think so? Or he's going
just
to be
another guy.
Or he's going to be the best bounce back player in fantasy and the steal of the draft.
Could be both.
He's there at that age 30 range, too, I think. And especially since the strikeout rate has escalated the last couple of years. I think this is just the new Desmond.
I wonder what, like, 230 with a 2020 season gets you at shortstop. I don't know that he's going to get to 2020 this year. But
yeah, I would imagine not very far.
It's amazing how different the shortstop landscape looks.
Yeah.
And two down number two is Jacoby Ellsbury. He's 1 for his last 27. I had more longer or big picture talk about Ellsbury, who was the number 13 outfielder in fantasy last year in points and number 10 in Roto. And that was while he was playing hurt all throughout September and had a terrible September. But he had a great year with the Yankees last year. This year, career-high strikeout percentage for Ellsbury, career-low extra base hit percentage, second-highest pop-out percentage of his career.
Pop-out percentage.
I'm assuming they were all caught, so they're probably pop-outs.
Very, very low batting average on those pop-ups.
Yeah. How about this? 3 points, just over 3.09 fantasy points per game last year, 2.64 this year. By any measure, he has struggled. What do you think, Ellsbury?
Yeah, it's really hard to be high on him going into next season.
Jag.
Yeah.
Come on, Jag. Look, he's 32.
That's not that old for outfielders.
It's not as old for an outfielder as it is for a shortstop, but it's getting old for anyone, really.
He's much more reliant on the steals than the power or average for his
value. You take is when he's healthy, he's still borderline elite.
Well, hasn't he been healthy the past?
Not really. Like, he's played, but there's always something. There's always something with him. Again, he's a guy. He runs into the wall, and he's dinged up.
Well, that's a part of what's going to hurt his value.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I just want to toss in a make it three down.
Yeah.
Because when you're talking about guys you can count on to hit 300, mm-hmm. one I don't think you can count on is Jason Kipnis. And he's just been pretty awful for a while now.
I'm going to just confess right now, I don't know what Paul Goldschmidt's batting average is, but is he a...
Yeah, no, you can count on him.
Yeah, okay. That's what I figured.
That's a good one.
Rotation time. How about the strugglers? Sonny Gray, a lot of home runs lately, and two terrible starts in his last three. Start or sit Sonny Gray at Houston this weekend in a daily league?
Like a daily fantasy league. You're not talking DFS, right?
Right, like daily lineups.
Yeah,
daily
you start rosters. Him. You mm-hmm. start him.
Edinson Volquez, he has alternated good and bad over his last seven, which means he should be good this weekend, but Detroit was one of the bad starts in this stretch. In fact, two of the bad starts. So I don't know if I trust Volquez. What about you guys this weekend?
No, I don't. I'm surprised that he did as well as he did earlier in the season with just kind of so-so peripherals.
Right.
So this isn't a huge surprise.
You'd be okay dropping Volquez,
yeah.
All right.
Jordan I'd be okay Zimmerman. Keeping him, too, though, to be perfectly honest. It just depends on what I felt was the best start for me that week.
I can agree with that.
Jordan Zimmerman. I don't want to talk about Jordan Zimmerman anymore. I've wasted so much.
You hate this guy. You
he
hate
sunk
him
me.
So much.
He sunk me in one of my leagues, and I will never forgive him. He's not having a good year. I mean, not having a bad year, but 3.51 ERA. He had been pitching pretty well, but last night got clobbered by the Phillies.
It happens.
I still don't feel like it's been a worse year than last year, yes. I don't really feel like it's been that different from prior years, and I don't feel like he stacks up that differently at starting pitcher, you know, based on the guys who've risen and fallen around him than he did coming into the year. Still that back end of the top 25 range, I feel like.
Well, he's got the highest whip since 2010 and the highest ERA since 2010. So it's been, you know, it's been like a bad Jordan Zimmerman year. I know it has been a terrible season.
I feel
a bad year for him.
You know, two pitchers who have been worse than expectations but not bad just in a general sense, James Shields and Jordan Zimmerman, I think both fit that description. I'm much more concerned about what it means for James Shields' future than Zimmerman's.
You don't think Shields has been bad?
No, he hasn't been bad. I mean, he has more than a strikeout per inning. It's hard to say.
It's all, though. He's been really...
He's been kind of...
I know he was very good last night.
Yeah.
I think he's been like a better version of Lance Lynn. I know the ERA's higher, but weighing all the peripherals with it.
I would almost call James Shields a bust.
I would
call minor bust.
I think you're still starting in more weeks than not. It's not must start.
I have a feeling that if you're still playing right now, you started Shields in a two-start week, but you probably have six or seven better pitchers on your staff if you have one of the better teams in fantasy.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true, but you know, I think the bigger point is pretty much true. I think if I had him, I'd probably be sitting him about as often as I start.
All right. Well, you know what? You know what? Let's look at Scott White's. Let's look at Scott White's Roto League. Look at your pitchers.
Okay. my league leading.
How
Memorial
are you beating
Magazine
me with
league
this
team?
Crappy? Oh, those are your reserves. Those are your reserves. Kluber's one of them. McHugh or Shields?
Ooh, probably McHugh.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Archer.
Yeah, I think
Archer,
I'd go
of course.
Archer.
What do you have? You're starting five relievers this week?
Yeah. Yeah, I can make up some ground and saves. Build my lead.
Scott Kazmir? Or it might go Shields there.
Probably Kazmir.
Kazmir's been very unreliable in terms of innings.
How are you beating me? Your pitching staff sucks. Kluber, Derek Holland.
I have Kluber and Archer. Those are two aces. What are you talking about?
All right, so you've already named four guys I would start over Shields.
Yeah, Holland, Aaron Nola.
Not Holland.
No.
Not Holland? Okay.
Not Nola.
Jaime Garcia, Marcus Stroman.
Not Garcia or Stroman.
Screw your team. Let's look at the second place team, my team, and see if a real pitching staff. My pitching staff's terrible. Sonny Gray, yes. Danny Salazar, yes. Steven Matz for me, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Patrick Corbin?
No.
Yeah. I would.
Lance Lynn?
I definitely would.
No, I'd rather go Shields.
This is where we differ now.
Raisel Iglesias?
Yep, I go Iglesias.
I'm cutting Iglesias.
Well, yeah, because he might not pitch much.
Yeah, I think the last two show starts suggest he's on his last legs there.
And Taylor, a young man.
No.
I'd start Shields.
All right, so I got like four or five there. Anyway, Taiwan Walker was excellent yesterday. Do you trust him this weekend?
No.
I don't either, but I'm going to peg him as next year's Chris Archer.
Okay.
Very, I can see that.
Tons of upside. Very frustrated this year, but he's got the makeup, I think, to be Archer-like next year.
Any of these guys, must-adds, must-starts? Aaron Nola, Tyler Duffy, Eduardo Rodriguez, who's at Toronto this weekend, Erasmo Ramirez, and Kevin Gausman.
I don't see how you could call any of them must-starts or even must-adds this time of year.
Definitely not.
If they're not making two starts, there's probably somebody who is.
Right.
There's no long-term forecast anymore.
You got a favorite here?
Nola.
Rodriguez.
Okay. Nola. I mean, Eduardo Rodriguez has found the consistency he was lacking for a while there. Last five starts have all been good. But I still am just... They haven't been good enough for me to be willing to put him in and risk the bad version showing up.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, I'd probably go Gausman over Nola, but I don't really trust either one that much.
Brad Boxberger blew his sixth save yesterday.
As long as we're making comps, how about Brad Boxberger could be next year's Trevor Rosenthal?
You think so?
No.
Just gets the walks under control?
I think he gets the walks under control, but the difference is he's been giving up a lot of home runs.
Yeah, gave up one yesterday. Is he in jeopardy of losing his job?
At this point, how can you say he is?
Yeah.
You know? But he's 4-10, which is not a number you see for a reliever very often, especially a closer, especially an all-star closer.
Yeah. All right, injuries, news, and notes to finish off here. Jose Reyes returned. Glenn Perkins hoping to be back Friday. Not necessarily going to be the closer, but hoping to be back by Friday. They might ease him into the closer's role, or they might not. They're playing for a lot right now, so I think Jepsen, you want to own him maybe. Right?
Right.
Yeah, that'd get cool. Yonder Alonso out for the season. Houston called up infielder Matt Duffy. We talked about that. Carter Capps could be back soon from Miami if you're trying to cheat, steal some whip. Nobody cheats better than Carter Capps. Jed Lowry left with a shin contusion. Derek Norris left yesterday's game early. Anibal Sanchez will no longer start Wednesday. He might be out for the year. He has more shoulder problems.
I wonder if we'll see Daniel Norris then, because I read something about them piggybacking.
Yeah, right. They might. You might see Norris tomorrow. I've never...
Sounds like an Onion story.
It's talking about Carter Capps. I find it hard in weekly leagues to put in whip guys. But in daily format, daily lineups, I'm in a 5x5 category or whatever now. I didn't use Will Harris because he's been struggling, but I picked up Sergio Romo. And I don't know. I think that's the format where... A little more roster flexibility. You can get a starter who's not pitching that day out of your lineup, put in some middle relievers, and lower your whip.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. At this point in the season, though, I think you can do it very easily in weekly leagues because if you can't really make up ground.
If you can't.
you know,
in strikeouts,
or, you know,
and wins,
or you're ahead, way ahead in strikeouts and wins.
Yeah.
I think it actually makes more sense this time of year to do it in the weekly lineup leagues, because you actually have a chance to, you know, accumulate some innings from those middle relief guys.
Well, Caps could be interesting. I mean, if he comes back and looks good right out of the gate, he was probably, for a stretch, the best, or at least the top five middle reliever. He was just awesome. Okay, emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Dear Wong, Chen, and Kuo, these Korean pitchers? No.
I don't know.
I'm either. Wong was what, from Hong Kong? Chiming Wong. I don't know. I'll look that up.
Okay.
What's wrong with Johnny Cueto? What's his draft value for next season and beyond?
I don't know. this has been the topic of the hour, Johnny Cueto, and I still can't really figure it out.
I can't either. If this continues right through the end of the year, he's probably, you know, he might be outside my top 40 going into next season, but with the caveat that he could be a big bounce back candidate at that price. But if he turns things around, you know, he has a good postseason run, we're going to forget all about this.
Oh, yeah. He'll be just like Justin Verlander. Remember when he had that
postseason
run?
No, because Justin Verlander, it was a whole season.
Yeah, it was. It was.
And Justin Verlander eventually turned it around.
2 years later, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
If we were drafting right now, I would definitely have Cueto in my top 25.
Okay. Yeah. Chiming Wong is from Taiwan. Excuse me. Not Hong Kong. That was stupid. Anyway, to finish off this email here, from Andy Chan in Hong Kong. Would you keep 3 out of 4? Cueto in the 9th round, Bogarts in the 10th, Soler in the 15th, and Colton Wong in the 17th.
Bogarts.
Yeah, I think I'm throwing Soler back and keeping Bogarts, Wong, and Cueto.
Okay, here's an email from David in SoCal. Dear Pee-wee Cowboy and Cherry.
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
See, I always thought Cherry was spelled C-H-A-I-R-Y.
Is it Sherry or Cherry?
Cherry.
Cherry.
Cherry the chair.
Chair.
Oh, Cherry.
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder I was confused.
That's Cherry.
I'm in the playoffs in a daily head-to-head points league. I have Cueto, Felix, Keuchel, Lance Lynn, Syndergaard, and Smiley. Should I drop Smiley or someone else to have as a streaming position? Would you recommend dropping Smiley or one of the other guys?
Now he'd be the one. I think it's
streaming hitters.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can drop Smiley, right?
Unless you want to drop
Lynn.
Johnny Cueto. Smiley's last 3 starts have been awesome. Double digit Ks, 2 of the 3,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the one in the middle was not awesome.
Reminds me a bit of Corbin, who I was doubting because it was kind of like that, and now he's been a lot more consistent.
For what it's worth, I would keep Cueto and not Smiley, but I don't think it's crazy this time of year if you'd rather do the opposite.
From Nick now. I have a bye. I'm preparing for next week. Actually put a question mark there, so I assume you're preparing for next week. In our league, we can change our lineup daily? This guy is Ron Burgundying right now. I'm going to read it as Nick wrote it. Have a bye.
You're Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, have a bye. Yeah. Preparing for next week? In our league, we can change lineup daily. Which of the following has the most righty-lefty split difference in value? That was a good question mark there. All right, righty-lefty splits. Who's got the most difference in value? Chuck Peterson, Alex Gordon, Josh Reddick.
I think Reddick, just because he never plays against lefties, but Peterson splits are probably the worst. Gordon, I don't really care that much about the splits.
Yep, pretty much where I was at with it as well. So, but he's trying to figure out who to target versus righties, I guess.
Well, oh, okay.
No, it
so
could be anyone.
Was I interpreting it? I just pick up Gordon
clear
and not worry about it. That's
that's what I would do too.
Yeah.
Okay, FanDuel time. Got 15 games.
Yes.
Okay, so we're spending on pitcher. That's usually what that means. So, Al, I know you've got some lineups.
I do.
DeGrom.
I went Strasburg.
All right, fine.
I think it could go either way, but Strasburg is $1,000 cheaper.
Never. They both have great matches. The Nationals never win anymore, though.
Yeah. I don't think the Phillies are. I mean, the Phillies are a good matchup just because the opposing pitcher isn't usually somebody you're scared of. In this case, it's Buchanan, I think. So I like that for Strasburg, but I mean, he's just, I think lately he's been about as good as DeGrom. So why spend the extra money? And, I, tried to get some White Sox in the lineup, because I think, I'm trying to think of that. Aaron Brooks.
Okay.
At the White Sox, I think that's, he's a fly ball guy. They could feast on him. So I managed to get $4,100 Jose Abreu and $3,600 Adam Eaton in there. And then also I looked at the Dodgers aren't typically a team that you look to, you know, beat up on lefties against. It's more the versus righty matchup. But I wanted to get Vance Like and or Ruggiano to line up. Ruggiano is really not that cheap at $3,500. So I went Vance Like at $2,400. And
wow, Ruggiano, 3,500.
Yeah, about that. I did get Ruggiano into a tournament lineup, so you know,
okay,
you could start both guys, I think, in a tournament.
This is not a great day for pitchers outside of the aces. But yeah. If I were gonna gamble on
which means
one,
it's a good day for him.
Right, it should be a good day. I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't do it. I would not gamble. But maybe Joe Kelly, since he's been on a nice run. $6,800.
Al has a tournament pitcher he likes, right?
Like, yeah, that I love. John Lamb at San Francisco. Because you look at what Lamb could do, and you think, oh, if you could just get this guy in a great pitcher's park.
Okay.
Well, there you go, against Chris Heston, who's not been very good for a while. And Lamb is just $5,400.
All right.
So you want to play Lamb.
Al had a little Lamb in his lineup.
I did. I was able to get Votto, Machado, Darnoto,
yeah,
in there, JD Martinez, I did put Ruggiano in there.
All kinds
of money to just throw at hitters.
Terrible, terrible pitchers going tonight. This could be a good day. yeah. All right. Good luck, everybody. Anything else? Any other steals out there? Any other bargains?
Well, I would say, man, I don't have the – for the Cardinals going against Ariel Pena.
Your favorite pitcher.
That looks like a good stack. Obviously, David Buchanan, especially left-handed hitters for the Nationals. I mean, it's not a value, but Bryce Harper, I think. You want to try and squeeze him in.
Bryce Harper actually more expensive than David Buchanan, I believe, for what that's worth.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a lot more expensive. He's – much more. There are a lot of people who are, a lot of players who are.
Aaron Brooks has been pretty awful lately. He's going for the A's up against the White Sox.
Right.
And I know Jose Abreu just coming off a big game.
Yeah, Al, that was Al's big stack.
Oh, sorry. I was looking ahead for other ones when he said it.
That's cool.
Double up on the beat up on Aaron Brooks.
Okay.
In terms of cheap guys, couple at second base. I've got one in my cash lineup, one in the turning lineup. Corey Spangenberg, $2,200 against Ulysses Chacin.
Okay.
And Javier Baez against Jay Happ, $2,600.
Twins are facing who tonight?
Twins are who are the Twins facing?
The Tigers.
Oh, the Tigers. That's right. Oh, yes. Simon and Hughes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Garfunkel.
So I was going to say Aaron Hicks is $3,000. I don't know if that's cheap enough. Adam Jones against Joe Kelly is $3,000. Melky Cabrera against Brooks. Did you say him, Al? He's $2,900.
I didn't. Not that that's a bad play. It's just I had to prioritize, so I went for Eaton and Abreu instead.
Mm-hmm. Ender and Ciarte, $2,900. There's some good outfielders that are pretty cheap. Corey Dickerson is $2,800. It's not Greinke tonight, is it?
No, it's Anderson.
All right, it's a lefty on the road.
Yeah.
You might want to avoid
that. Might
that
be tough.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you guys very much. And head to fantasynews.cbsports.com for much more. Oh, God.
This is four at once.
Disgusting.
Four at once.
You don't even like them.
Who cares?
Trolling me.
They're here. They're edible.
Trolling you with snack food.
They're loud.